Now, I'm going to read from John chapter 6, verse 27, all the way to the end. This morning, I'm going to make a number of statements as we read it, because I'm going to try to cover the discourse of our Lord, known as the bread of life. And it's one of the most important sections of the Word of God. Before I do that, just let me say a few things. Brother Stafford is pretty low. He can't eat. And he's really fallen off. He always enjoyed food. That was a man that enjoyed food. And he said, I just can't eat. It won't go down. And he's really fallen off. If you're there talking with him, he can hardly hold his eyes open sometimes. And he's gone off to sleep on me while I prayed with him. And he's just asleep. Now, he's not the only one who's ever done that, by the way. There are others who have, but he did it out of weakness. Other people did it because he didn't get enough shut-eye the night before. But that's just a little fun on the side. I had another call this week from our brother DeWitt Jones. His mother has come down with cancer in Florida. She had a surgery on the colon, and she's doing pretty well right now. But when the doctor operated on the colon, he found that the liver, there was quite a bit of malignancy on the liver. And I think they're going to bring her back to Burlington because her family is here. And DeWitt called me, and another reason they're going to come back here is because of hospice. Hospice in Burlington has a very good reputation for looking after older people or those who are in this condition. And it's amazing. He called me the other night about 10:30, 11 o'clock. That afternoon over in skilled nursing, the caseworker, one of the five caseworkers for hospice, said, I'd like to talk with you. And because she looks after Mr. Stafford, and she looks after Molly Stratford, who was buried yesterday, had the funeral for her yesterday afternoon, and also another woman that I go to visit, Mrs. Bulla, over on, I even forget the name of the road, off of Rolling Road. But anyway, she wanted to talk with me, and we had a long talk together I believe that the Lord was making preparation for DeWitt's call in the afternoon. So remember, I don't know DeWitt's mother's last name. I don't know her last name. And they came here quite regular last summer when they were here during the summer months. And of course, this is a real burden on DeWitt from Greenville, though where they are in Florida is a lot further than from Greenville to North Carolina. You can get here from Greenville in about 4 hours, but to Florida it takes quite a bit longer. So something to pray about. And then there's Jenny Smith. I mention her every week. I tell you, she's really pitiful. She's in bed all the time, and it's something to pray about. And then there's Uncle Andy is down there, and sometimes he knows you, sometimes he's far away. Mrs. Edgerton knows what I'm talking about. To pray one for another and to rejoice in the goodness of God. And I may miss people when I'm up here talking. I think of Mr. O'Hare often. Haven't stopped to see him. But he's there. And remember him in your prayers. He's on the prayer list. And others. Let's read from the Word of God. It's on. I must have turned it on before. John chapter 6. We begin our reading at verse 27. Now let me just bring you up to where we are in John 6. In John 6, our Lord performed a miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. Then he sent his disciples away because the people wanted to make him a king. Then as the disciples were going across the lake on the boat, there was a serious storm, and of course he calmed the storm, the stilling of the storm. So there are two great miracles. And that brings us to the discussion of our Lord with the people who came on foot to the other side of the lake, and he gives them this great discourse on the bread of life. Verse 27, we begin our reading. He says to them, we'll begin in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" He had already showed two great signs. The feeding of the 5,000. The stilling of the storm. Now the stilling of the storm is basically with the disciples. But the feeding of the 5,000 is very public. Now they have the nerve to say to the Savior, "What sign showest thou? If you saw or show us another miracle, we'll believe." That's not the way it is. And our Lord is going to teach that to them in this great discourse. Verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth a life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose 50. No, I should lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is a guarantee for all who believe will be raised at the last day. It's a genuine statement of the Savior. Verse 41, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day." That is a very important verse. our Lord said very definitely, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. And whenever that is quoted, there is the flesh that ruffles itself up and says, God, to the Lord, it isn't fair that you do things that way. But the next verse, we always forget to read the next verse. And the next verse is one of the greatest verses to teach children and to have a Sunday school, to have Bible clubs that you can find in the Word of God. I don't know of a more exciting verse than John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Beloved, let's tell the children and the grandchildren of the Father. I don't know of a greater verse. Everyone that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Let us make sure that we teach our children about the Father. Not the theories of evolution and the theories of man. Well, let's tell them about the Father. Here's one of the greatest promises in the Word of God. No man can come except the Father draws him. But they have to know who the Father is. And when we teach them about the Father, it's the Father who draws to Christ. And it is Christ who draws to the Father. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it is the Father who draws us to Christ. And Christ takes us to the Father. And the reason he takes us to the Father is because of his redeeming work at Calvary's cross. Because we cannot come to the Father apart from the new birth. We come to the Father because we're born into the family. And we're born into the family because sin has been forgiven, a righteousness has been provided, and we're saved by divine grace. Verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. You see, our Lord said, no man has seen God at any time. We talk to them about the unseen God. Why? The just shall live by what? Faith. Not by sight, by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. These are great verses. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Take that verse. Compare it to verse 15. Verse 15 we read, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain, himself alone. Compare it to verse 25, where you read, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. But now he's giving them spiritual food. It's amazing. People don't change. You can get more people out to a chicken dinner and a banquet than you can to hear the word of God. The spiritual is the most important. They wanted the Lord because he was able to give them another meal. But when he pressed home the charges and the reality that you have to have a living, vital relationship to the Son of God, not simply tasting, but eating, they said, there's a hard saying, and it's going to get a little harder. Let's move on. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's a very important verse. The scripture says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word is spirit, it is life. We move on, verse 64. He said, But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a demon, a devil? He spake of Jesus, of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we bow in thy holy presence, we thank you that our Lord Jesus is not the son of Joseph. He's a son of God. We thank you that he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And the will of him that sent him took him to the cross. Who could imagine anything like God forsaking his son at Calvary in order that we who believe on him can be brought in and redeemed and justified and sanctified. We praise you, O God, who is like unto thee, thou art perfect in all your ways. We thank you that we can ask on behalf of others. We thank you for the gift and the ministry of Brother DeWitt. And we pray for his mother. You know all about the situation. There is nothing hidden from thee. And as we pray for his mother, we pray for Brother Stafford. He'd like to be here. He's too weak. And we ask you to graciously undertake for him. We pray for Brother O'Hare and Jenny Smith and everyone else who's laid aside. What a delight to be able to call upon Thee in the day of trouble and to have Thee answer and show us precious things that we know not of. So now, our Father, with a great task of expounding the truth of the bread of life, we just ask You for Your help and ability to speak as of the oracles of God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You'll notice in the introduction on the top of page 23, our Lord's knowledge of the hearts and the motives of all men is most clearly seen in the discourse on the bread of life. Notice first the purpose of their coming. They came because of their physical welfare. When Jesus performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, they wanted to make Him a king. But as we noticed last week, He just slipped away from them. He knew their hearts. He knew the purpose of what they were doing. But my question in three in parenthesis, was Jesus a king? He was, but He wasn't the king like they wanted. What kind of a king do we want Jesus to be? It's amazing what kind of a king that a lot of people have conjured up in their minds that Jesus is. He's a Jesus that they can push any way at all. Is He? No, indeed He isn't. And John chapter 6 teaches us that. He didn't start to bite His fingernails when some of His disciples left Him. You know, we get all excited when if somebody leaves because of the teaching of the Word of God. Now, we don't like to see people leave. We like to see people come in. I know I do. But our Lord never got excited. He never started to bite His fingernails. He realized truth is truth. Facts are facts, and they don't change because people think it ought to be different. It just doesn't work that way. And what we have to do is come to the Word of God and see what does the Word of God really say. And we find that the more we study about the person of Christ, the more we behold the wisdom of God, and the more we behold the greatness of this salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. Our Lord said, you see, they didn't come. He was king, all right. He was born king of the Jews. That's what the wise men said. Where is He that is born king of the Jews? He was born a king. He lived as a king. He died as a king. That was what was over the cross that Pilate put up. Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. And the thief on the cross believed what Pilate said. See, God can even use a witness of a donkey. He did to Balaam. Numbers chapter 23. He did to Balaam. And God can use the witness even of a Pilate who had written. And you know they wanted Him to change it. And He wouldn't do it. You read about it in the 19th of John. In other words, what did the dying thief say? Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. He saw and he believed the truth that Jesus is indeed the king. And for a king, he must have a kingdom. And our Lord has a glorious kingdom, the kingdom of God. And one day that kingdom of God is going to be manifested in glory upon the earth. He's king. He's king. But verse 26 says, ye seek me not because of the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. But now notice number 2, the preclusion of the people. Verse 28, their question, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Notice our Lord's answer. To believe is simply that which God requires of poor sinners. Just believe me. Isn't that something? Can you get anything more simple? Just believe me. That's what he says. I want to work the works of God. The Lord Jesus said, just believe. You know, man wants to do something. Man wants to be big. But God says, all to do the works of God, all you have to have is one thing, faith. Just believe me. And believing God will change the life. You see, what we are determines what we do. Always. What we are determines what we do. Blessed are the pure in heart. What do? They see God. For they shall see God. You see, what we are is more important than what we do. And our Lord is always dealing with what a man is. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Our Lord Jesus said, believe. You see, man wants God to ponder to his pride, but God doesn't do it. God doesn't bow to the Pope. God doesn't bow to the President. God doesn't bow to anybody. He doesn't pander to the pride of anybody. He said, if you want the kingdom of God, you want to do the works of God, believe. But notice 3 in parenthesis, verse 30. What miracle will you perform? We really want to believe you. But notice A, in bold type, spiritual blindness is the worst kind of blindness there is. It's awful to be physically blind, but it's far worse to be spiritually blind. When R.L. Mann died, Mrs. Mann requested that a song be sung. John Thomas's wife sang a song at his funeral, a song written by Fanny Crosby. I shall know him, I shall know him. As redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hand. Fanny Crosby was blind. She wrote the hymn. And she wrote that hymn in faith. You see, and of course we laid R.L. Mann away in faith. Awaiting what? The resurrection of the body. The coming of the Lord. There's nothing worse than spiritual blindness. Notice, B, they gave Moses credit for the manna their fathers ate in the wilderness. In verse 30, they said to the Lord, will you give us bread from heaven? You see, they really want a free meal. And remember what Israel did when they did get bread from heaven. They murmured about it. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread, is what they said. Numbers chapter 21. Isn't that awful? Now the people said, we'd like that. We're tired of working. I'd like a free meal. Yeah. Notice verse 32 is our Lord's answer of rebuke. And verse 32 is important. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It is God who so loved the world that he gave. He gave the true bread. He said, I am the bread of life. Notice their desire in verse 34. Evermore give us this bread. If there's something better than manna, we'll take that too. Their minds were only on that which was physical, not that which is spiritual. I tell you, Brother Stafford, his mind is on that which is spiritual. I talked to him about the glories of heaven the other day. You know what he said? Oh, the sooner the better. I tell you, that's exciting. The sooner the better. I agree with him. But now notice, number three in your paper, the patience of the Savior. In verses 35 to 41, our Lord in patience tells them who he was, where he came from, and of the personality of the Father. That is what you have in verses 35 to 41. In other words, that great verse 37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. But you see, what is there in dark print. Number two, but all they saw was what they could see naturally. A, they thought they knew who his Father was. Did you notice that? I'm looking for the verse. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They thought they knew who his father was. But you see, they didn't believe that he was a virgin-born son of God. If they would have believed in the virgin birth, they would have known. When you get over to chapter 7 and chapter 8, they say, we be not born of fornication. They accuse him of being an illegitimate child. You see, he could tell them, I came down from heaven. But they didn't believe it. You see, it's impossible to be saved and not believe in the virgin birth. And if you find a preacher who doubts the virgin birth, then he doubts a lot of other things. And if you find a preacher, and there are quite a few of them, who deny the truth of the virgin birth, they deny other things as well. These people that our Lord is speaking to, they had a history of knowing God. The God of the Bible revealed himself to them. They knew miracles in the Old Testament. They had been delivered from bondage. And he tells them, I came down from heaven. Not to do my own will, verse 38 of John 6, but the will of him that sent me. The one who sent me gave me something to do. I came down from heaven. How could he come down from heaven? We know his parents. That's what they said. And you see, when I listen to some of these fellows, these modernists, so-called, today, and I hear them deny the virgin birth, it's amazing how natural they really are. And how unspiritual. And how blind they are. They are blind to who Christ is. And they are blind to what our blessed Lord is able to do. So, back at 3 and number 2, all that they saw was what they could see naturally. They thought they knew who his father was. B, they simply didn't believe that God was his father. It's just pure unbelief. But now notice 3, our Lord's patient answer in verse 44. Our Lord is very patient. He wasn't excited. He simply said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. If you don't believe that my Father's in heaven, you'll never be saved, for no man can come except the Father who sent me draw him. In other words, a person who glibly says, oh, I believe there's a God, that doesn't mean a thing. That doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't change a bit in the life. But to believe that God, who is God, sent his only Son into the world, and that it is through his Son that redemption has been wrought, and it has been wrought to his death on the cross on Calvary's Hill. God raised him from the dead, and he ascended back to glory with the Father. He is there now. That means something. Our Lord said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. In other words, the only reason we came to Jesus is we were drawn by the Father. That's what we sing in that third stanza of O Happy Day. Oh, I love it. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Had he not drawn me, I would have never come. There is none that seeketh after God. I certainly didn't seek him. He sought me. And that's the glory of the gospel, friends. You and I are go out with the gospel and we tell people, we know that God draws. And we expect him to draw as we preach the gospel. Boy, I was excited yesterday afternoon after this graveside service I had. There were two women there I didn't expect to see. The one got saved one Monday morning when I was in her home. She came to, that's when I was at Ireland Street Chapel. She came on a Sunday night and she sat there. And I could see conviction settle over that woman while I was preaching. I wasn't surprised on Monday morning when she called. She called the house. I went there and she had a couple small children. And one was a baby. And that baby interrupted. I'll never forget that. Now, she can't remember it because she's been in an accident in the meantime where her husband and her children were all killed and she was almost killed too. But she was there and she remembered me. But that morning I went over Romans chapter 3 and I explained the gospel to her. I prayed with her. I said, now will you receive Christ? And I just got a blank. Nothing. You know what I did? For the second time, I went over the same thing. I prayed with her again. And I said to her, will you receive Christ? You know what I got? A blank. Nothing. What I did the third time, I went over the same thing again. And when I was finished, I prayed with her again. I said, will you receive Christ? And I got the same thing I got the other two times, a blank. I said, I have one question for you. I said, do you understand with your mind why Christ came? Yes, I do. I said, I'm going home. When you receive Christ, give me a telephone call. I just let her stew for a while. You see, I don't need to write down every little detail. But I tell you what, that afternoon, I got a call. And that lady knew that she was saved. There's another lady sitting here that I left like that too. And she got saved later on. You see, nobody knows who it is. But she does. But you see, no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. And I'll tell you something. I can far greater trust the Word of God and the Spirit of God to bring someone to Christ than I can an evangelist. Because when he does it right. He does it right. You see, the only reason that we came to Christ is we were drawn by the Father. And he draws them as we preach the gospel. By the way, the second woman, that was at the funeral yesterday, she said, you know, she said, after God saved me, this man got me, he grounded me in the Word of God. And I couldn't think of when it was. And then I remember that woman came to Mrs. Mann's home on a Wednesday morning to the Bible class. You know, when you think of these things, I said, you know, all I could do was quote a verse of Scripture. Despise not the day of small things. It's a little thing to just gather with a, well, it was a room full of people. It was two rooms full of people. Sometimes it was three rooms full of people at Mrs. Mann's home. But how often she opened her home for her neighbors. And I believe there are going to be a number of people in glory. The result of that Bible class. You see, despise not the day of small things. Noah preached for 120 years. I don't expect to get that old, but Noah preached for 120 years while the ark was being built. How many people did he take in the ark? Just his family. Just his family. You know, the Lord has been that good. I can count people who were saved to just simple Bible classes over the years. And I believe it's more people than Noah took in the ark. Isn't it amazing? Oh, the grace of God, beloved. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. But our Lord said something else. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. What a privilege. What a privilege. Now, let's move on. B. Under B there. Little B. It is the Father who gives understanding. It is the Father who opens hearts. It is the Father who draws. God does all that. God does all that. And beloved, that's why verse 45 is so important. The importance of witnessing. As I said when we had our Bible reading, in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. In other words, you've got to put that every man into the context of verse 44. Those drawn by the Father. But since you and I are not omniscient, we don't know who God is going to draw. You and I are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. He's going to do his work. And you know, when I looked into the mirror this morning, I learned something. Guess what I saw? I saw the most unlikely person that you'd ever expect to be saved. Me. Me. It's not that God can't save others, but the fact that he loved me and gave himself for me is one of the most outstanding statements in the whole of the Bible. My friend, there isn't a person who deserves to be saved. We are not finished with John 6. We'll finish next Sunday morning in the will of the Lord. Our time's gone. I'll tell you this. Our Lord couldn't have been more frank, more loving, more open than he was with a multitude who wanted to make him a king. But they wanted to make him a king apart from faith, and that will never work. What must we do that we might work the works of God? This is a work of God that you believe. Just believe me. You can have it all by believing. And you can miss it all